Welcome back, everybody, to Dress Down. Today, we have the first in our redo episodes from the very beginning of this show. We are joined by our goth queen and monster literature connoisseur, Little Cotty. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
I'm excited. How are you doing? Oh, love your nails.
Thank you. Thank you.
Monstery. They're bloody. They're bloody. They're monstery. Very cool.
I did them specifically for a bloody monstery photo shoot.
So that you just did recently,
just did,
right?
Yes, yes.
Which was what?
It was a scary Little Red Riding Hood that a friend actually made the outfit for. And she's a costume designer and sent it to me. And I was like, she trusted me with this. She's like, I trust you with this. And I trust you enough that I don't even have to be there.
So she sent it to you. Did you have to send it back or did you get to keep it?
No, I get to keep it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So she trusted you to take it and then do nice pictures in
yes.
it. And okay, gotcha.
Nice.
Nice. As nice as bloody Red Riding Hood gets. Yeah. Cool. Awesome. I'm thinking of other adjectives besides nice.
Sick.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Twisted. Oh, wait.
Twisted. One of our brains is working and it's not mine. Well, that's exciting. When do those photos come out?
Soon. I just went through all the RAWs, selected which ones I liked, which was really hard. I was surprised that I liked way more. Mm-hmm. You always fear that. Not fear, I shouldn't say fear that, but going through, you're like, oh, am I going to like a lot of them?
Yeah.
I feel like when you're posing and stuff, there's some that you can remember posing for and you're like, oh, these I'm going to like, but I don't know what else.
Yeah.
And then seeing them and seeing stuff that you didn't even think you were posing good for and just seeing it come out so awesome.
It's awesome.
So I'm very excited for those to come out.
Yeah. It's also different looking at them on the computer than looking at them on the back of the camera.
Yes. Yeah.
It's bigger. It's brighter. It's more vibrant.
More in your on your little insecurities. But
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that too. But you shot with Eric Carroll, right?
Yes.
Who is amazing. Big fan.
Yes. Love Eric.
So you were in good hands.
Yes.
For
oh,
sure.
My gosh. That was my first time shooting with him one-on-one. You know, we did the 12 photo shoot together with him, and that was my first time shooting with him in general.
Mm-hmm.
But this, I was like, hey, your vibe, your photos fit exactly what I'm looking for. I need to do these photos justice. And he took me to a park. We went to a park to do the photos, which I wasn't even expecting that. But he was like, I know a place.
I got a place.
Yep.
I got a
and
spot. He has spots.
He has spots.
I love that about him.
And it was awesome. We got the shoot done in an hour and a half, I think, maybe.
Wow.
Which is
fast.
Perfect for me because I don't be wanting to shoot that long.
Yeah. I don't dilly or dally, but it does take me an obscene amount of time to shoot because I am scared that it's not going to come out well.
Yeah.
So I shoot and I shoot and I shoot and then I'm left with thousands of pictures and I'm like, what am I doing? I like 150 of them and I can't choose that many and oh no.
Yep. And they start blending, being similar. And you're like, I did this pose 10 times in a row.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
It's like the exact same pose with your body, but you're looking forward or you're looking slightly away, 3 centimeters to the left. And you're like, which one do I choose? It's so hard.
It's so hard.
Yeah. But I'm excited to see them.
Thanks. I am too.
Very fun. I saw the previews. I got a little preview and they look really good. Yay. Well, welcome back. We last time discussed how you got into cosplay, where you're at now, your internet niche, which is monster romance and horror in that specific genre. So I figured this time we could talk about something similar, but maybe leave less of the journey alone and just kind of like hang out and talk about your interests and what's exciting to you.
Oh, no.
Starting with obviously the monster romance. Mm-hmm. We were talking a little bit earlier about monster romance in movies and what that means. And that you could give a panel on it if you wanted to. So let's start there because it's something that you're interested in. Mm-hmm. And if I was an audience member and you were giving me – if you sat down at a con and started a panel on monster romance in movies, how would you begin?
Begin? Oh, yeah. I don't know. Obviously, like, shock factor. You have to start with shock factor when it comes to monsters. There's no – we don't filter anything. It's just straight up monster peen on the screen.
Let's get right into it.
Yeah,
full on. What makes a good monster movie? Because there's – I mean, it's developed in many different genres and ways. Mm-hmm. Since its inception, right?
Yeah.
And now there's stuff like the new Nosferatu movie that's very sort of goth romance and like very aesthetically beautiful.
Yes.
And then there's stuff like Shape of Water, which is similar, aesthetically beautiful. And then there's stuff like, I don't know, It, where the monster is like nasty and everything's scary and like where do you fall into your like special interests and how do you rank these different genres?
So my number one, I guess, criteria when it comes to monsters, I'm huge on practical effects. But that comes from the creative side of us, you know. I've never been like, obviously there are CGI aspects when it comes to monster movies regardless, but the more practical effects used, I just, something about it tickles my brain and just gets me so excited.
It's organic.
Because it's there. I can touch it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I want my monsters to be real, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, I want them to be real.
Yeah.
So when you make them real, it just makes it so much more exciting, more organic. You can immerse, like when you're watching this movie, you see the everything interact with the monster. You don't see it just cutting through stuff digitally.
Right.
And so I think practical effects is always my number one, but because it just, I don't know, it makes it also more beautiful.
Yeah.
And that comes down to like the gothic romance movies that, you know, it's kind of huge right now, I feel like. And they throw the monsters in there. I want more, obviously, but we work with what we have. And so, yeah, like Nosferatu, Shape of Water. I think Shape of Water was one of my all-time favorites because it really, as much as it was dabbled in there in the movie, especially back in the 20s and 30s, mostly like 30s, I think, where you had romance and monsters, but the monster was always still the bad guy. It was always still like you had the hero who saved the woman from the scary monster that was obsessed with the woman.
Yeah.
And that's great, dandy, I guess. But we don't want that now.
Well, we've evolved.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I want my monster to be the hero. And Shape of Water really gave that to us. Like it really gave us like the monster and the girl. Mm-hmm. The monster gets the girl in the end. And
he deserves the girl.
And he deserved the girl. He earned her.
He's not a bad guy villain. He's misunderstood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well.
Kind of.
No, we understand him very well. And we're okay with that.
Right. We accept him for who he is.
Yes.
Right, right, right. So what would you say are the god tier monster romance movies that you think have done everything right or most things right?
I mean, I am a huge Del Toro fan. So Shape of Water and Frankenstein were
the new Frankenstein?
Yes.
Okay. I haven't seen it.
It's
really good.
Beautiful. And those, I think it's all about perspective, especially from a director's position, because we have stuff like, oh my gosh, what is that movie? My Monster. Mm. So we have movies like My Monster where they give us a monster romance, and that was like a pure monster romance, mm-hmm. but it had comedy mixed in and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Besides the fact that the monster looked like the Geico caveman, it was a Geico, not Geico.
It was a Geico man. I think so.
It was a Geico.
Yeah.
I don't know, one of those insurances.
I think so.
He does. Tell me I'm wrong.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Well, I'll show you.
Okay.
But you know, besides all that, it was a good movie, but I think people try, like, monsters obviously represent something in a lot of movies, and that's totally amazing. Mm-hmm. I love that, you know. Monster movies in general, when they take a concept and they form a physical being and they create the monster based on this concept, it really creates something good. But that's all it is to me. It's not there. And so when you have Shape of Water, you have Frankenstein, it gives you what you're looking for. And we consider Del Toro one of the monster girlies. Like, he is one of us because he gives us, like, he's not afraid to cross those boundaries, unlike a lot of people are. And Nosferatu was the same way. That movie really...
I did see Nosferatu.
Oh, did you like it?
It was beautiful. It was so pretty to look at and captivating to look at, like all of the gorgeous, huge landscape, grayscale, desaturated castle. Like, aesthetically it was so pretty that I was watching it here at the warehouse working on cosplays and I couldn't work on my costume, so I kept looking at it, like the vastness and how pretty everything was. I was like, whoa, that's so cool. And I would find myself like 20 minutes later with the X-Acto knife in my hand being like, oh shit, like, I'm doing something right now, hold on.
It's beautiful. I just, those three probably are, they're gorgeous, they're all gorgeous. They all have their differences, but all in all, they're beautiful films. Like, oh my gosh.
Did you watch The Haunting of Hill House?
I didn't, actually.
Really?
No. I'm so bad at, like, the show, right?
Yeah.
I'm so bad at shows.
Did you watch any of the other, I can't remember the director's name, but anything else that he has done? The Haunting of Bly Manor?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Haunting of Bly Manor reminds me of the, like, gothy romance.
Yeah, it does have, like, that gothic.
Because Haunting of Hill House was, like, scary.
Yeah.
Whereas Haunting of Bly Manor was like, beautiful.
Pretty. Yeah. It was gorgeous.
It was romantic. It was.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Gothic,
so I was wondering. I felt like you would have enjoyed it.
Yeah. That one, yeah. I never saw The Haunting of Hill House, though. I heard a lot about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm weird. Like, I'm annoying in the sense if somebody tells me too much to watch something, I will not watch it.
Yeah. It starts to, once you hit a certain threshold, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It is a fantastic show, I will say. And there is a specific shot in it that I love that's like an 8-minute long, no cuts shot where they are in a funeral home. And they're moving the camera practically where they're zooming into the coffin and people are moving around and they're skipping through time with the different actors that are like running behind the camera. And it's a like 8+ minute no cut one shot thing. And it took them months to like map it and rehearse it and film it. And there's this crazy behind the scenes video because they also are going down the hall and they even change locations into like a house. So they have like a crane where they're like spinning things around. And it's just for that shot alone, I think it's such a good show. I went back and I watched it on YouTube like multiple times since I've seen the show because I'm like, sometimes I'm on a random Wednesday, I'm just thinking about the 8-minute shot from The Haunting of Hill House.
You know, it's really great. The 8-minute shot.
Gotta go back and watch that. It's so cool. It's also very aesthetically pleasing. Mm-hmm. But that's my selling point for you.
Okay.
If you're ever like, what should I watch today? Danielle talked a lot about that one 8-minute long.
I will watch
shot.
It specifically for the 8-minute I love a no-cut shot.
It's so good. It's so good. So, so good. Well, anyway, what would you say, because if those are your pinnacles of the monster romance, what would you say is something that some monster romance does wrong? Like, what turns you off from something when you look at it or when you watch it, you consume it immediately, like one of your like red flags?
So there's a few. And it more comes down to it's strictly me. I get it. You know, it's me, not them probably. Sure, sure. But
you're entitled to your own things.
I don't like, but this kind of goes with a lot of movies. I don't like when something ends up not being real at the end.
That's a universal take, I will say. Okay. Everyone hates the, I woke up and it was all a dream.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or like, it was like a figment of my imagination. Yeah, like the monster wasn't really there, mm-hmm. or, you know, it didn't exist, or mm-hmm. whatever. Like mm-hmm. that,
I mean, that's why Lost is one of the worst endings historically of all time.
Spoiler, just kidding.
Oh no.
Yeah, no, for real. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why do they do that?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's number one. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I have two reasons. They're both like equal. Mm-hmm. That's one of them. Mm-hmm. The other one is when they kill the monster at the end. And this kind of goes for any monster movie. Like, it doesn't even have to be mm-hmm. romance mm-hmm. monster. Mm-hmm. I get it. I understand it. But, mm-hmm. like, stop. Mm. Give me every Predator movie ever. Mm-hmm. Why are we killing every Predator? Uh-huh.
Did you watch the new Predator?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Did you like it? I liked it, too. I liked it a lot.
Absolutely.
Okay, so in the monster romances in media, what makes a monster a fully fleshed out character to you? Like, what if someone's making a piece of content, right? Like, what separates the monster from being like a sentient being versus somebody with like a soul?
I think it's giving those. So I think maybe a lot of people work backwards with it, but I think it needs to be moved forward. So they'll take a humanistic construct mm-hmm. and then turn it into a monster. Mm. But I think what works better to show, because you want the true form of a monster, mm-hmm. but you do want to sprinkle some, not even humanity, but just a little bit of empathy mm-hmm. into it. Mm-hmm. And that kind of like helps it, like that where you relate to it. You're like, oh, there is something, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think working backwards, it makes it too human. And it's like, you know, because we love our monsters because they're terrifying. Mm-hmm. They're this scary construct that you're like, oh my gosh, like mm-hmm. That would terrify you. But when you sprinkle in a little bit of empathy, mm-hmm. it just makes it like perfect.
Yeah.
But working backwards, I think, is like the wrong move, where they take a human mm-hmm. and kind of turn it into a monster. Mm-hmm. And like that works for certain types of movies. Mm-hmm. Not really like my type of movies that mm-hmm. I prefer.
Right.
But it works because it comes down to, I feel like a lot of monster movies, monster characters in general, come down to like humanity comparisons. Mm-hmm. I feel like the whole point of a lot of monsters is like to show either the good or the bad or both of humanity.
Right.
That's what they end up being anyways. Mm-hmm. But I just, something about taking a monster and giving it a little bit of that empathy or humanity.
A little sprinkle,
if you will.
On top.
Mm-hmm. A little dash. gives it like the good flavor instead of mm-hmm. just giving me a person.
Right. Because looking at it through the foundational lens of a human being takes away the otherness of it, right?
The unfamiliar, the alien.
And it becomes easily digestible instead of something foreign that we need to understand and find common ground with.
Yes, exactly. Yes. It makes us think more.
Right.
We think outside of our comfort zone and the box a little bit more than we normally would instead of taking this thing and just duplicating it but making it look different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I have the biggest issue with is when they take just a person and they make it look different. And they're like, oh, this is a monster. And I'm like, okay, well, now we're crossing into very
it is a human
bad
that
ground.
Just looks like a monster.
Yeah, and I'm like, and now we're talking
Wait a second. You're taking away what makes it.
Yes.
Yeah. So then what I was going to say next, which I feel like we've already kind of answered with that, is do you think that a lot of movies use the concept of the monster as a way to talk about something in humanity, like a concept or an idea?
I think monster movies kind of go through, or monster media in general, goes through phases. So I feel like back in the day, you know, a lot of it was a lot of monsters were just disfigured humans, which is a whole other issue.
Yeah.
You know, messy. Very messy.
We should unpack that at some point. Yeah.
So like that's like a whole issue in itself. It's like, but that was just basically targeted towards people not feeling
beautiful.
Involved desirable. Or accepted.
Yeah.
Desirable, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we roam into later dates where we have more of, I mean, there was like phases of aliens mostly, and that was just a fear of the unknown out in the universe. So there was no, like, not much of the comparison, but then you had, and maybe this is just me because of like my view of the world, but I feel like a lot of monster movies are kind of projecting, especially alien movies, projecting like taking over stuff in like war.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes kind of sense where like we as humans only have so much concept of us. Like we only know us. So when we create monsters, we create aliens, all that stuff, all we're doing is like duplicating
what
humans
we know.
What we know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think a lot of it is like a reflection of humanity. But then you have random stuff that's just not. You have stuff that represents plague. You have stuff, sickness, you know, all that kind of stuff. You have those monsters that represent concepts or ideas or non-human or like animal characteristics, but they're just a representation of it. And I think we're it goes back and forth, but I think a lot of monster movies nowadays are either a reflection of humanity that, you know, people want to represent, or they are something that is like a construct that they want to represent into a physical being. So
yeah, I tend to agree as well, which I feel like you obviously consume a lot more media on this subject than I do. But it's bringing me, I do play a lot of video games. And as you were talking, I'm thinking about Mass Effect a lot, where all of these alien races are completely different. They are all from different planets and they're all trying to coexist and they're all at war for different reasons. And like, the like genophage, which is the virus that was affecting one of the quote unquote aggressive races.
The Krogans, right?
The Krogans, who were just like big old himbos and they're like not allowed to reproduce because they're too strong because people are scared of them. And it's just because they're not understanding intrinsically each other and the what makes something sentient and what doesn't. And it's very interesting. It's a very, interesting philosophical concept, but I have trouble with like philosophical ideas that don't have an actual answer. Same. So stuff like this, like I will talk in circles and I'll be like, wait, I'm not getting to the right answer, but there is no right answer. There's no right or wrong. It's what you believe.
It's just interpretation and more. I mean, but we can say that, I mean, to get
about
philosophical.
About anything.
We can let's get I think I had a professor in college, and he said something that stuck with me like for forever. Mm-hmm. And it was the idea that nothing is ever 100%. Mm. There's always room, and when you're given a fact, there leave room for change.
Right.
And that was like one of the coolest things ever. And I think mm-hmm. that leaked into like my media literacy and stuff, where there was always another, like, leave room for a different answer or change or whatever. Mm-hmm. 'Cause, you know, they say at one point the Earth was the center of the universe. Mm-hmm. And then now it's, or the, yeah, our galaxy. What is it?
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. I don't know
not
the exact
universe, but I mean, maybe. But at first it was the Earth, and then it was the sun, right? Mm-hmm. So that changed. But at one point was the fact that the Earth was the center. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just leave room for interpretation.
Yeah,
leave room
we,
for
don't
different
know
answers.
It. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like as awesome and sick and cool monster movies are, there's so much philosophy in them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. Like there's so much interpretation.
There's so much gray area, which I think is so cool. Like you were saying, usually we historically, since the dawn of movies existing and TV shows existing and video games existing, it's like this guy, good. This guy, bad. Mm-hmm. They fight. Good win. Bad lose. And it's like, what about the gray area involved where you are only being told the story from this perspective, and now you're not being told the story from the other perspective. And that's, I think, what was so groundbreaking about games like The Last of Us, where you're like, wait a second, what if you have more information?
Yes.
And you decide that maybe the good guy isn't the good guy along.
Last of Us was different. I stand by my decision.
Wait, what was your decision? What do you mean? What was your decision?
Don't worry about it.
What was your decision?
What do you think?
I don't know. What decision did you make in Last of Us?
You don't make a decision.
Oh.
But like I made a mental decision.
A mental decision.
Where
we were
justified entirely.
And stuff now. Yeah.
I was entirely justified for what I did in that lab, and I will not change my mind.
What an interesting take. I
committed.
Don't share that opinion.
Really? I'm sure a lot of people don't, and I totally understand that.
Oh my God, I would love to unpack this. Okay, can you elaborate on that? Okay, first of all, this game is old, and I think the spoilers are over, but we're talking about the end of the first game.
Yeah, so the end of the first game.
Yeah, right, yeah. With Joel in the lab. Yeah. Which I believe is already in the TV show as well.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're over this. Where Joel essentially decimates
an entire
society in order to save Ellie. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? I actually think I know what you're going to say, but I kind of get what you're going to say.
Yeah, like
I'm already kind of on board.
I don't expect everyone to like mm-hmm. agree with me, I know that sounds like whatever. Yeah. But I'm also the type of girl that's like, I would pick a villain over the hero because, you know, the whole thing of the hero will sacrifice you for the world. Mm-hmm. The villain would sacrifice the world for you.
Right.
And like,
I think you're the one who said that to me for the first time. And I was like, whoa. I remember hearing that. Probably. I don't know if it was you or Witchy, but one of you two said that to me. And I was like, oh, wow, my worldview just kind of twisted for a second.
And I understand the concept that, you know, the end of that game, it was what was best, or I mean, his wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. their side was the Fireflies, right?
yeah,
their side was what was best for the world.
Sure.
Entirely. Yeah, I understand that. Mm-hmm. I don't care. But.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
I don't disagree with you, but I also don't necessarily 100% agree with you. It's hard for me because the whole time while I was in the hospital playing through the hospital part, I was like horrified that I had to do some of the stuff that I had to do. I was like, I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. Especially at the end when he already got her out and he did not need to murder that woman.
Also true.
And he did it anyway.
Yeah.
He was home free, Joel.
And then how'd you feel about like the other perspective, like from the hospital perspective of like,
I think that this is a perfect example of gray area because I'm not really truly on board in either direction because I think that the Fireflies being like, we got to do it right now. We got to do it right now, this very second. We can't even stop to think about this. We can't even figure out if there's a way
to like to
figure out a cure in literally any other capacity. I think that's crazy. I think it's also weirdly irresponsible because if you accidentally murder or if you murder the one person who's immune, because
you didn't do it correctly
and you don't figure out the cure, wouldn't it be better to keep her alive as long as possible? So I have a lot of questions about that. I hate that. I hate the way they went about that. Equally hate the way that Joel went about that because backing him into a corner and him being like, well, guess I got to do what I do best and kill all these motherfuckers is, I see it. I get it. I see it. But there's like certain decisions that he was making along the way, like killing all the doctors and the nurses where they were like, we don't even have weapons, like with their hands up.
But he didn't care.
And he was like, no prisoners. you, everybody's gone. That felt a little aggressive.
It was.
Because if this is like one of the only doctors that could possibly save the world, it would probably be better to just like handcuff that bad boy or like zip tie his arm.
Take your daughter.
Yeah.
And leave.
Right. Yeah. With like as minimal damage as possible, which obviously is easy for me to say.
Yeah.
But the decision, I think that they made him make those decisions for a very specific reason.
Yes. Yeah.
Like they made him unnecessarily murder those nurses and the doctor and the, I can't remember her name, but the woman at the end.
But when I think he was leaving, he already lost, you know, he was like not taking chances. I think that was like the whole reflection thing of like, I already lost my daughter once trying to like play it safe and I'm not taking any chances.
And that is valid from his perspective, which is what makes the game so good.
So because good. Okay, I'll replay it.
There is, right. There is no right answer, which is what I love about it so much. Like getting to play through a story like that and not even knowing where it's going to go and having a mirror held up to all of your decision making and what you've done in the game, especially when your brain is trained to be like, I'm doing the right thing because the story is telling me I'm doing the right thing. I'm on the right side of history. I'm being the hero.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're not the hero anymore, or you could be perceived as not the hero, even though from
so crazy.
Yeah, it's so interesting and it's so cool to experience all of this same story from all these different perspectives and understand that there is no right answer.
Yeah.
And there is no good guy and there is no bad guy. I love this fucking game.
Humans.
I love this game so much.
I know. Okay, fine. I'll replay it. I've been actually contemplating replaying it recently too again. Yeah. I'm such a scaredy cat with zombies. Those zombies specifically.
Yeah, yeah. It's a scary game.
That's terrifying. Yeah. I'll sit there in a corner for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
hyping myself. Yeah. I'm like, I got this. I can do it. And then they like start clicking and I'm like, nope, just kidding.
Yeah. The boss fights are rough too in like the enclosed dark spaces for sure. But I to expand on that, when I played the second game and I got to play through Ellie's perspective and then Abby's perspective, I felt like I went to long-term therapy afterward because during Ellie's part, I was like, fuck these people. Let's fucking kill them all. Get them all one by one. Tell them Ellie sent you, you fucks. All of you bitches are gonna die and I'm gonna like it. And then when I played through Abby's part, I was like,
you mean you didn't? The whole time I played through Abby's part, I was like randomly, fuck you, Abby.
No.
Fuck you, Abby, though.
Maybe in the very, very beginning.
Also, fuck you.
Yeah. I know everybody. I remember when it first came out and everyone was like, I haven't even played through Abby's story because I'm just like jumping off the cliffs over and over again. Blowing myself up. I gave it a shot out of curiosity. And I hated what I saw about myself when I started playing through Abby's part. I was like,
it was rough.
Okay. Maybe I shouldn't have been so loyal to the cause without thinking about other perspectives. Maybe this is something I should unpack.
And that's, I feel like that's good though. That, because when I beef with a character though, I'm beefing the whole rest of my life with that character.
Same.
Like I don't. I'm still pissed at Gale.
It's especially true for me with like all of the Dark Pictures anthology games, like Until Dawn. Like if I don't like one of the characters, I'm like, oh well, they're gone.
Yep.
See you later.
Yep. And like when friends like go play it and they're like, oh, like I'm trying to save everyone. I'm like, do we have to?
Do we have to? I don't want to play as them. Yeah. I do want to save all the characters in a completionist way.
Yes.
But I also don't try as hard.
No.
When it's one of the annoying.
And like it'll be like a last minute decision sometimes where I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna complete it this time. And then I'm like, but what if?
But what if?
And then they say the one thing. They say the one quote that pisses me off. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? No. Bye.
You know what? Maybe I won't hit this quick time and you will trip over this log.
So slow. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I won't hit these heartbeat breath things at the right time. Anyway, moving on from The Last of Us. I feel like I could talk about The Last of Us for hours.
Days.
Forever. So I have a fun little game.
Okay.
That I've put together, that I put together 3 minutes before we started, but I think will be fun.
Don't tell anyone those.
Just kidding. I've been planning this for hours and days. We're going to discuss a tier list of monsters and what makes them S, A, B, C, or D, or F.
Okay.
So you can rapid fire or you could take time to explain how you feel about them.
Okay.
But I'm going to just rattle off some names and you give me what tier that you think that they're in and why.
Okay. So we have S and then A, B. Can we do S, A, B, C, F, right? Or is there a D in there? I don't know. I'm gonna get confused. I feel like
I don't know. Let's do S. S is like godlike.
God tier, yeah.
And then A, B, C, F.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, we'll skip D. We'll skip E.
Yeah.
We got very good. We got good,
decent, or not even decent. Like eh.
Yeah.
And then we have hell no.
Yeah. We have fair. We have bad, and then we have very bad.
Okay, cool.
Like 1 through 5.
We can do that. Yeah.
We can do that. We got this. All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Starting off strong with Dracula.
Which one? You can't throw that at me.
Which ones are
which
they?
Dracula? Okay. Oh, there's like 10 Draculas.
Let's go like OG Universal Monsters.
Universal Dracula. Monsters. Okay.
That's kind of what I was basing it on.
I can do him. I would say A.
Okay.
I do love Dracula.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How come? He's just like an icon?
I have a thing with vampires.
Okay.
I don't know. Vampires are so romance to me. They're such a like iconic romance. Mm-hmm. And like, especially Universal Monster. I feel like I'm going to put all the Universal Monsters in like A or S. So
Yeah.
That's just, they're classics. I can't not put him below A.
Okay. Moving right along, The Invisible Man.
Also A.
These are most of the ones in the beginning are Universal Monsters. I'll skip around. How come?
I don't know. I don't.
He's Invisible a mystery.
Man. He's a mystery. Like, I also love like mummies. Also, so like the fact that he's wrapped up in like gauze. Mm-hmm. Just I don't know. Mm-hmm. I love a man who covers his face. You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got you. The Creature of the Black Lagoon.
S.
Yes. Okay.
I don't know. Why? I don't even like fish
vibes?
That much.
Are we basing this on vibes?
I don't know. They're just, he's like more monstrous looking too. Mm. Like, I think that's like a big, like a big criteria for me is like more monstrous.
Pinhead. Oh. We're gonna skip around.
I love Pinhead. Mm-hmm. I love the aesthetic and stuff. I will say A though. I know that. Hey. I know that's weird.
Okay.
I do love him, but don't think he's quite S tier.
What drops him from S tier to A tier? Just not well rounded enough.
Yeah, like I need more. And I would say some of the Cenobites I would put in S rank over Pinhead.
Mm-hmm.
Like Pinhead's A, but there are Cenobites that I would put in S for sure.
Gotcha. Okay. Predator.
S.
I had a feeling.
Ooh, wow.
As a whole, I guess. I know that there's different ones. But I
don't know. They're all
kind of the same vibe.
They're all up there. I don't think I dislike any.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Feral Predator is like one of my favorites right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which one is the Feral Predator?
From Prey.
Ah, gotcha.
Feral Predator from Prey, and then the Grendel King from Killer of Killers. Anyways.
The Pale Man. Do you know who that is?
From Pan's Labyrinth?
Yeah. With the hands.
Yeah. I've been asked this so many times.
Yeah.
And
it's okay.
I have to say C.
C.
Yeah. He ate the fairies. And it just made me really sad. I remember being like so disturbed by that scene that I just don't fuck with it. No. Yeah.
Freddy Krueger.
F. I don't like him.
Ah,
I know.
Our first F.
It is. Yeah. It's not. It's just, I don't know. He pisses me off.
Fuck you, Freddy.
Yeah.
I don't like
Freddy. He's just annoying. Like, I don't know.
That's fair.
And I love the character. I really do love the character. Mm-hmm. And it works for the character. Like, he just pisses me. He just annoys me. I love the movies, everything. Mm-hmm. I am annoyed by him heavily.
My man's annoying. Get a better personality, my guy. So I have to say Jason. Then.
Oh, S-tier.
I love Jason. Okay.
Clear.
I know you've got Jason on your shirt.
Yeah, Jason's my favorite.
What makes him S-tier? Oh, your favorite.
He's so mysterious. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He's just so
so baby girl.
He's so baby. I love him. He's so sweet and big and
monstrous.
Oh yeah. I love murdery. A mask. So
I'm sensing a theme. Yeah. Okay. Pennywise.
F. Yeah. I'm not afraid of clowns, but I don't like clowns.
They're not
scary to me, but they're annoying to me.
They're not giving attractive.
No.
As a whole.
Yeah.
You know
very,
what I mean?
I feel like clown there is a general. Clown somewhere that I'm like, wow.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's just
yeah.
not him.
Speaking of clowns, then, what about the Terrifier?
I have opinions about
a hot
them.
Take?
I do not like the Terrifier movies.
That's not the first time I've heard somebody
no,
say that.
No, a lot of people say that.
They seem very polarizing. I haven't yeah. seen any of them.
They're like, Art the Clown is fine. Like, mm-hmm. I don't mind him. He annoys me mm-hmm. still, but I just don't really like the movies. Like, they weren't what I was looking for. But I feel like mm-hmm. any movie with like a clown killer in it, I don't like anyways. Mm-hmm. So I don't like clowns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I am on board with that. Frankenstein's monster.
Preference or like, is there a different specific one or?
I wrote these with the opinion of the universal monsters.
The universal monsters. Okay.
But
I mean, A. Yeah, that would be A. I'll generalize.
A staple in the community, yeah. but not a. Yeah,
I feel
yeah,
like
yeah.
there's some versions of him that I would put in S, and then there's other versions I would put in A. So mm-hmm. I feel like just a medium like would be A. Like
which,
I feel like
which ones are S?
Del Toro's.
The Del Toro,
which is crazy
because
he's not uh-huh. even that like crazy looking, but uh-huh. just something about him, just the leaf.
What about Wolfman? Continuing the trend.
With Wolfman. The Universal Monster one, I would say B.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're rounding out our tier yeah. list. This is good. How come? It's just a guy.
It's just a guy. Yeah. A little hairy.
Just a hairy guy.
Just a hairy dude.
Doesn't make an impact.
Yeah.
She's just got a lot of hair. what about Godzilla? We're moving into kaijus.
We are. I get asked this a lot also. And I feel like obligated to say Godzilla is like high ranking up there.
Don't feel obligated. Go
but
with your heart.
I won't. I will go with my heart. And I feel like I love Godzilla, but I'm going to put him in B.
Oh. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. How come?
I don't know, big scaly lizard guy. Like, yeah. He's like sweetie, cutie, but like, I don't
really
know.
He doesn't
really
have a lot of personality.
He doesn't have a lot of personality. I feel like yeah. I don't know him. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I can't have a conversation with him.
That's
know?
Fair. That's fair. What about King Kong?
Oh, yeah.
S tier! King Kong! Monkey!
I love King Kong. King Kong's so, yeah.
King Kong gives me baby girl vibes.
Oh, absolutely.
He's like doing his best. Trying his best.
Oh yeah, that he has so much personality. It's insane.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I love King Kong. Absolutely.
Yeah,
and he just wanted to, just wanted to save the girl. He just wanted his girl.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, yeah. I'm still depressed about it.
Mothra.
You know, Mothra, I would put an A actually,
yeah, okay.
even though that's Godzilla's wife.
Uh huh.
I would put her an A.
How come?
She's so. Beautiful.
That's fair.
She's gorgeous.
That is
me?
Fair. Oh. That's so fair.
She's a lady.
She's a
you
know what?
Lady.
I'm on board with this. I don't need much convincing. What about the blob? The blob.
From the blob.
From the blob.
So ask me like a year or two ago, I would have had a different answer.
Okay.
I probably would have been like, C or F. Mm-hmm. But I will put the blob in B.
In B.
In B.
Mm-hmm.
Just.
Like a council member on the board.
You know, yeah. You know why?
Why?
Because of the arachnophobia mode of Monster Hunter, the new one.
Explain that. I haven't played that.
So. What is it? It's Monster Hunter Wild,
mm-hmm. The new one.
The
yeah.
new one. They came out with arachnophobia mode because mm-hmm. there's giant spiders.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone sent it to me immediately. Mm-hmm. And when I have people sending me the same video, I'm like, oh boy. And basically, in the arachnophobia mode, they replace the spiders with these giant blobs.
Okay.
And when the blobs attack you.
Uh-huh.
I can't say anything else.
Okay.
It's wild.
What do you mean? You have to say more.
I don't even know.
What is it? Is it sexual?
To me it is, because damn, what the hell?
What's happening in this?
They literally,
in Monster Hunter?
Yes, they jump on you and they just move around a little too rhythmic.
Gyrate?
Not even gyrating. Nope. It's smooth and slow. Oh. It's sensual.
Oh.
I was like, what am I watching? And that's actual like footage. And I was just like, so now I show everyone that naturally.
Yeah, of course. As you should.
As I should.
As you should.
And yeah, I was just like, what is this real? Like, I didn't think it was real at first.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. And go arachnophobia mode.
I mean,
best
catch me installing Monster Hunter Wilds.
I was like, I'm not I don't have arachnophobia, but
what about the alien queen from Alien? I assume
I would put her in S tier. That's a queen. That's our queen.
That's a queen right there.
But I would also put like regular xenomorphs in S tier.
Yeah, it's I don't even have to ask actually why. I get it. I do. The mummy.
Universal monster or?
Yeah.
Okay. I would put A.
A.
A. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they're all like, they're all respected elders.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, you guys paved the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know if you had any hot takes about any of them, though. Mm. This one is very important. The Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
Also not the first time I've been asked that.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah. C. Well, no.
C.
Yeah.
C.
I like when he's angry.
Yeah. A little feisty.
Yeah. I'm like.
A little spice.
Like I'm in trouble. I'm like, oh.
I'm in danger of being crushed.
Yeah.
The Dune Sandworm.
Despite my jokes on the internet about this, because I dramatize it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
A B. I'll put them in B. Yeah, okay. I like them. I feel like it's the same with Godzilla. I feel like they're on par with Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot of personality, but you appreciate them for who they are.
Yeah, but I feel like in the B section, they're above Godzilla for some reason.
Mm.
I don't know why. It's weird.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
They are phallic looking.
They are.
They get maybe they have that going for them. They get a little boost. That's all I have written down, but are there any S tiers in your brain that you're like, this would be an S?
Probably a ton. I don't know.
Tell me about all your favorite things.
There's so many monsters. I don't know.
Who's the one that I know that you love from Lord of the Rings?
My boy Lurds.
Lurds.
Which is so controversial for no reason. People get so mad at me about Lurds, and I don't know why. I have no clue why. Yeah, when he comes out of
Lurds. Is Lurds S tier?
Oh. I have a 7-foot cardboard cutout of Lurds in my office. And I put a Santa hat on him during Christmas time, naturally.
As you should.
Yeah.
You should dress him up for every season, really.
Every season, yeah. I love him. I don't know what it is, but something about him coming out of the ground and just being oozy.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
It's very primal.
It's so primal. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. I get all nervous just talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I see where you're coming from. He's not the man for me, but I do see where you're coming from. I feel like I understand the enticingness of the primitive, but same as like Wolfman, it's like that's too much hair.
It's too much hair.
It's kind of, it becomes unsanitary after a while. There's like a threshold of hygiene. And once it hits a certain threshold, I'm like, you know what? Maybe this isn't for me. Which I think is why vampires be getting more excitement than
probably
the werewolves.
They're so clean.
Because they're cold, but at least they're not as matted, potentially. I don't know.
And they
fur trap stuff in it.
But then you throw a lichen at me.
A lichen. Okay, what's the difference
underworld?
Between a lichen?
werewolf? Not much.
Okay.
They're different, like, if you get into, like, the realm of a werewolf and a lycan, like, werewolves are more, but they blend eventually, like, in the movies and lore and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But werewolves are more wolf-based.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when they transition from human to werewolf, they were more, like, wolf.
Gotcha.
Or just, like, hairy human.
Gotcha.
But lycans are more bipedal beasts,
mm-hmm,
instead of, like, more wolf-based, if mm-hmm that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of crossover. There's not much, like, difference now. It just depends on the movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so lycans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm they have hair galore. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know what that's all about.
Yeah.
But they just don't seem sweaty. Maybe. I don't know.
It's true. I know exactly what you mean. There's something that feels inherently, I don't want to say dirty, but like kind of dirty, yeah, about a werewolf, where like, I don't know.
It's just weird. Like, it just depends.
It just depends.
Because some things I'm like you take lerts all goopy.
All goopy.
And I'm like, give me a straw, right? But you take some other. You give me like Jabba the Hutt,
mm-hmm,
from Star Wars, mm-hmm, which is equally he's goopy, fine, but you make him equally goopy, and mm-hmm I don't want to touch it.
Mm.
Even though Jabba the Hutt's great,
mm,
but like I don't want to touch his goop.
The only goop for me is Lurts.
Lurts goop only. Lurts goop only.
Lurts goop only. I want to make you a shirt. A t-shirt.
The worst part is only so many people would maybe understand that. Like, maybe know who Lurts is. Nobody knows who Lurts is.
Yeah, they don't I can't say his ever name. Remember his name.
Well, they don't say his name.
I can picture his face,
yeah,
because you've talked about him so much.
I can picture
all
his
right,
face too.
All right, final tier list of monsters. We're going with the tried and true Microsoft Word, Clippy himself.
Clippy will always forever be S tier.
S tier.
S tier for Clippy.
S tier for Clippy.
That was like my first image on the internet where I was like, huh. That I questioned my sanity. And so Clippy will forever just exist.
For clarification, the image is Clippy in a very sensual position. a little moist, a little wet. Right.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Love Clippy.
Yeah. Clippy is giving daddy energy.
Oh yeah,
he's giving like, oh, sit down, I'll take care of you energy.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he did. He took care of us.
He was like, hey, by the way, if you need help, let me know, I got you.
It's time for us to take care of Clippy.
It's time for us to take care of Clippy.
He's earned
Clippy
it.
Took care of Clippy us all these it. years. It's his turn. What a beautiful ending to this episode. But thank you so much for coming down and sitting with me again for a second time. It was very, very fun. I very much enjoy speaking about these interests because I feel like I have my toe dipped in, but I'm not like in the world, and I love to learn more about it. Stella be talking about it all the time, the alpha...
Yeah,
Omega verse.
Yeah.
And this is fun. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. I love talking clearly about this.
We are respectful of everybody's interests here. Where can everybody find you online?
I am on most social medias as Lil Cotty. I don't have any different names anywhere else, but I'm mostly on Instagram, TikTok. I try to dabble in YouTube, but that, you know, I'm there.
You're
Maybe
there.
I'll stream sometime.
Maybe you should stream when you replay The Last of Us so I can watch
should.
It. Because I'm trying to watch it.
Okay, fine. Okay, you've convinced me.
That's all I'm saying. What was I going to say? Oh, I'm excited to see your Red Riding photos. Do you have anything else coming up?
Oh,
in the pipeline?
Not currently. I was actually looking into, Resident Evil 9's out. So I'm going to leave that there. I have a feeling that people that know me probably know who I want to cosplay from there.
Oh, yeah. I think I know.
But I mean, it just came out. I don't want to like spoil anything or whatever. But yeah, so I am looking into Resident Evil 9 and hopefully soon we'll have something from there.
Yay. So, yeah. Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for joining me. Let's transition from talking about monsters and into talking about this type of community, the horror community, the romance community, and best practices to keep you and everybody else safe when they're consuming this type of media or posting about this type of media online.
Yes.